This is how you know that I've had a little bit of coffee. I'm just going to move this here so I'm not bumping into this. So I had the privilege to make it there and back again. This is a Hobbit's Tale. To Florida for our general conference. And if you're watching on Facebook, some of the pictures or posts, I accidentally called it General Assembly, and that's actually not what it's called. And so I was rightfully put into my place after we shot that video. And yes, so General Conference was awesome. And it was a time for Free Methodists to get together every 4 years. And we worship, we went through different teachings, and what was communicated to us were 9 different strategies that us as a church across this nation and the globe will be pursuing over the coming years. We also voted on our bishops and several other things. But what was encouraging was the breakout sessions. They had 4 different sessions for each of the 9 strategies. And I'm just going to be honest, I had no clue which session I was going to go into. They all sounded really great. And I sat there and I thought, I don't know what to do. And so for those who know Tim, over at Pastor Tim at Titusville Free Methodist, he was down there, we were talking, he's like, you got to pick one. And so I was like, okay. So I had 2. And I prayed. I told my wife, I says, I don't know which one I'm going to do, but let's ask the Holy Spirit to guide me and say, you know, whichever one I'm supposed to be a part of, I'll be a part of it. And if it's okay, then it's an okay experience. And so I felt the Spirit draw me to go to this one class. And the name of the strategy is Multiply. And let me share with you. It was confirmed in those sessions on what we will be doing as a church and where we're moving forward. And I thank God for meeting me where I was at to draw me into this place to say, this is where you need to be, Eddie. You have to hear this. This is not just for you, but this is for us as a church. And my heart was skipping a beat. And I would text Elisa after class, of course, because you don't text in class. And telling her, this is what we're supposed to be doing. I haven't experienced this in years. And it wasn't riveting, amazing speaking, but it was the content and the time of what we're going through. So what I'm asking of you is this. Would you open up your hearts to what's going to be said today? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and for Him to talk to you about what we're chatting on? Pray with me one more time. So Jesus, we submit ourselves to you. We ask that you speak to us as we go through the scriptures, as we talk in dialogue. Lord, there is no one greater. And as a song that we just sang, that you are the God of the city, I pray that we would believe that deep within our souls. And we would be hungry for that. To see your kingdom come and your will be done here in Erie. Here in Erie County. Here in Pennsylvania. Here in the United States of America. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I like apples. And as a kid, you know, this was one of the staple fruits my parents would give me. And my lunches normally consisted of apples or bananas. But they are sweet. And they taste great. When you get a good, ripe, juicy apple... I'm sorry, I'm going to take a bite because they're good and you just can't resist it. And apples are great fruit. They provide so much energy and they're sustaining and they're good for us, right? They are healthy. But I want to ask us, is the purpose of the apple just purely to satisfy us? Is that the only thing this thing is good for? It's not just for my pure satisfaction. Because as I go deeper and deeper into this apple, there's one part of the apple that I really don't like to bite into. What do you guys think that is? The core. And why don't we like the core? The seeds. Did anybody like eating seeds when you were a kid? No? I was not a fan. There it is. I knew it was going to come. Inside the core of the apple are seeds. And normally there are four seeds. Four tiny little things. I'm going to pull this out. And these seeds allow us to see the deeper purpose of this apple. This apple has a mission. And its mission is sustained inside the center part of its life. What's that right there? It's that seed. That seed, that small little black speck, has purpose. And we need to find what these seeds are. God put seeds into every single living thing. I want you to think about that. That they're the black specks in bananas. Strawberries have seeds around them. Anything that gives life has a seed in it of some sort. Even carrots. When I lived in Central Oregon, I had the privilege to work along farmers. And they weren't just normal farmers. We had our cattle ranchers, and cattle ranchers were completely different people. They weren't farmers. Then I had my potato farmers. You know, those were usually those folks who were about a foot or so taller than me and thicker, and they were great people, those potato farmers. And then we had a bunch of seed farmers, which I never experienced. I never been to a farm where they solely grew seed. So I got to watch, I went around some of the different farms, and I got to see them watch this process and how seed, especially the seed of a carrot, is formed. Does anybody know, has anybody seen how carrot seed is? It's actually pretty crazy. You plant the carrots, and then you let the carrots grow, and the stalk comes out of the ground. You don't pull it out. You just leave it in the ground. You allow the carrot to take time and grow more, and the stalk keeps growing and growing and growing. And then this one carrot produces a stalk full of carrot seed. It's incredible. And then they cut the seed off the top, and that's what you use to plant more carrots. One carrot produces all of these seeds, which produces more. There's something written within the DNA of life that God has put there for this concept of what we call multiplication. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we know the Bible story. And he says, he placed man and woman here. He says, be fruitful and multiply. And that was part of the original context of the, he wanted there to be multiplication within the earth. That us as human beings multiply and we grow and we flourish. And he gave us this planet. He gave us this planet so that we would have a home here, a place to be satisfied, a place to love and to take care of and to be a part of. But we had a responsibility to be fruitful and multiply. You know what? Abraham, you fast forward within the Old Testament, Abraham also had a promise of multiplication. When he was given the promise that there would be a people who would follow him and their numbers would be greater than the sands on the shore. You could walk upon a beach and you look at the specks of sand. And if you're like me, you get to enjoy them inside your sandwich when your kids are playing near your food. And so you can taste the sands there. But there are so many, that you look at the sands of a beach. And it's beyond the ability for us to count. And Abraham had this promise of multiplication. Jesus even used parables to talk about multiplication. The parable of the seeds and soil. And he described this idea that multiplication was going to happen when the seed was tossed on good soil. It says, still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as been planted. Anyone with ears to hear, let him hear. There was a seed planted on good soil, and it produced a crop 30, 60, 100 times. This is a story that Jesus used to teach, carrying the theme of multiplication. Going down to Florida, they had 9 strategies that as a denomination that we will be focusing on. And there were different spheres. One was discipling deeply. One was going missionally. They had all these different themes. And I truly believe the Holy Spirit led me to go into the multiplying. And I didn't know what to expect, but I knew within the first few moments when they started talking about church planting, my ears shot up and thinking, this is what we're doing. For those who don't know, when we came out here, I still don't know how they swung it, but when they were telling me and Elisa about Erie, the words church planting never really came up in the beginning. And I think that was God, and this is why. Because for the last 6-7 years, there were specific moments when I was conversing with God and praying for what our future is going, what's going to be a part of our future, and I kept telling Elisa, I says, "Man, this is scary, but I feel like God keeps pushing me about church planting. But we have a family, and that's scary, and that's, you know, church planting is rough, and it's not really safe." And so I would say, "Okay, God, just going to push that to the side, and we're just going to keep doing what we're doing." And again, it would come back, "Eddie, you're supposed to do church planting." And again, I don't know. But my heart would hunger for it, but I knew there was something inside of me that said, this is what you're going to do. And so when this opportunity came up here, the word was relaunch that was used. And, you know, I love how sometimes we use certain words cover things up. And so relaunch, meaning we're just restarting it. We're starting it. And it's true. This church is a relaunch from what it was. Okay? It had a season as Erie First Free Methodist, and now it is New Vision Erie. And they relaunched the church. But essentially, the principles that we're doing is church planting. We are creating a church in Erie. A church with a mission and vision to see all people come to know Jesus, to love God, to love people, and make disciples. And that is our mission. So when New Vision was started and presented to me, it wasn't the words church plant didn't come up. And then we came here, and we've been here for 7 months, and we've had a time where we presented the mission of where we're going, of the heart and desire that God's been here. This is new to me. There's moments that I was nervous, genuinely saying, "Okay, God, what are we doing? I've never done this. I've been a part of creative models before." And they say, "Hey, go create something." Okay. But I know this was God, because God was directing this and speaking to us and confirming, saying, "This is where you need to be. This is the time that you have to be here. This is the call that I have for you." Okay, so we're going to do this. So we're taking this adventure here. And now we've been here. So once you're here, you have the passion. I could see the mission and the direction that we're going. But how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we create a church? And that's new. And I humbled myself that I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing except that I'm supposed to follow Jesus. And as I sat there listening to this missionary. His name was Bruce Bennett. And talking about him working within churches in other countries and doing what's called community church planting. And what it is taking the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, and applying it within the context that you live and seeing something fruitful happen. He has been able to see over 40,000 churches planted and work with people into reaching other people. And he said, you have to know that you're called. You have to know that you're called to a place. You got to be bold. You got to be willing to take risks and to do things that other people might be a little scared to do. And he says, if you know that God is calling you and has placed a certain region on your heart, then you need to claim it and you need to do it and you need to commit yourself towards that. I listened to these words and we were able to work through and saying, I see now how we're going to do this. God has placed us here. We have been working together. We have been building a community, small groups, our worship times. Okay, we're getting some of the structure in time. But now there's a deeper mission of who we are, and that's what we need to go through. I want you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation. But if you have another translation, just follow along with me. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter a person's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. And if those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. And if they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. And if you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever's set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. Within this passage, we read that Jesus didn't send out just the 12. He sent out 72 disciples. People who were passionately following Jesus. He sent them out from where he was at to all the towns that he was going to go to. And he said, go. All those people who were following him were commissioned out to experience something. To experience something into the towns. And what they were to experience was a harvest. That Jesus himself says that the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Jesus is presenting this idea that there are people out there that are ready. They are ready to hear this message. When it's harvest time, it's time to work. It's time to stay up late, wake up early, get out into the fields, because your product is ready. It is not time to take care of the soil. That is not time when it's when we are setting up the water and we're just putting on the harvest time is a time when you are working. I would see these farmers, and they were out there constantly. They would have to skip church some Sundays because it was harvest season, because everyone was working. And it wasn't just dad working. It was mom, dad, kids, all working together, cousins, neighbors, everyone helping out into the field, because we have a short amount of time to do what needs to be done, because the harvest is ready. So Jesus told 72 people, it's harvest time. Go. Go into the towns that we're going to go to. And find specific people. He warns them of those who will treat them wrong. Tells them to protect themselves. But he says, go. And one translation uses, go find people of peace. People who will receive you into your homes. And if they are a peaceful person, pray a blessing on you, and the blessing will stay. And if they're not, the peace will return to you. We realize here in this harvest that who is the one in charge that he's saying? It's the Lord. And he asks his disciples to pray. He says, pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Pray to him before you go. So to greet and bless people with peace. Because you are called as a disciple of Jesus Christ to be an ambassador of peace. That's what you are bringing. You are bringing peace into people's lives. You are bringing peace into lives that are hurting and broken and that are looking and hungry for something. They are searching it out because the harvest is ready. There are people who are ready to hear the gospel message of peace. The peace that says, listen, your life can be changed. That Jesus Christ is real, and he's not only real, but he wants to bring new life into you. He wants you to speak peace into other people's lives. These ambassadors were sent out to speak peace into people's lives. Now, the scriptures talk about these people of peace. I'm going to use a specific situation. Within the text, we read a story about Zacchaeus. And if you've grown up in the church, you know Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And there's a song that goes along with that. And because I love you guys, I'm not going to sing. That's because I love you. But Zacchaeus was not a follower of Jesus. He was not a good person. He was not loved. It says that as Jesus made his way through the town, there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region. So Jesus comes into a town, the chief tax collector is there. And he had become very rich. And he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed upon the tree, the fig tree, beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came by, so here's this man, tax collector, not a good person, sitting and waiting for Jesus. He's sitting and waiting for Jesus on a tree. Not a good person waiting for Jesus. When Jesus came by, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, called him by name. I love that. Jesus called him by name. He said, Zacchaeus, wanted him to come down. Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. And Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But you know, the people were displeased. He had gone to the guest of a notorious sinner, and they grumbled, because that's what good church people do. They complain when Jesus hangs out with those who really don't deserve him. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and I have cheated people of their taxes, and I will give them back four times as much. And Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, For this man has showed himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Jesus was seeking the lost. The one who didn't deserve it. But there was someone who didn't deserve it who was waiting for Jesus. Isn't that interesting? A sinner who is looking for Jesus. Someone who is living completely opposite of the way of that God intends him, but there's something going on in their life that they know they need it, but it hasn't happened yet. Okay, in theology, there's a term called prevenient grace, that God is at work before people come to Christ. Wesley understood that this grace is God's active presence in our lives. This presence is not dependent upon our actions. It's not dependent upon what you do, what you earn, or your human response. It's a gift, and a gift that's always available to all people. Okay, that God is at work in people's lives. Before you came to Jesus, God was working in you, preparing you so that when you come, you there was something inside you ready and waiting. And I could say that. I can look at my life and I could say, you know what, God? I can look back and say, man, you were working here and I didn't realize it. But you were getting me ready so that the moment when Jesus became so real, I was there. I was ready and willing. And this grace, it doesn't guarantee people to listen to it, but it means God promises that he is going to be pouring forth grace upon your life to get you ready, to get you there. So Zacchaeus, you're sitting there hanging from a tree, looking for Jesus. Just wanting him to pass me. Just wanting to just see this guy. And Jesus invites him in. And he goes to his home. And he spends time with him in his life. He enters into his circle. And what's interesting is that he's doing what he told the disciples to do. To go out and to find people of peace. To go into their homes. To eat with them. He gave him three commands: to eat, to heal the sick. Who remembers the last one? What? To tell him. Tell him that the kingdom of God is here now. Eat, heal, tell. Spend time with them. Be in their lives. Jesus didn't tell him, go grab him and tell him to come with us right now. No. He didn't tell him, hey, we're all going to meet at the synagogue 10:45 for a Torah study, and I expect you guys to bring one new person with you every week. No! No! He said, go there. You go there. You are my disciples. You go there. You're going to do what I do. And you know what? It's not even going to stop there, because you're going to go and you're going to witness the power of God is upon you, because there's a power that God gives us to go and make disciples. He says, all power and authority I give to you. He says, go forward, go and make disciples of all nations. There's a power that Jesus gives us to go and make disciples. There's an authority there that we get to trust and rely on, and to say it's not us, and that we don't have to be nervous and scared in those moments when God sends us out. But there's an authority there. A traffic cop in New York City, okay, should be dead, but because of the way people drive, standing in the middle of a crossroad and putting your hand out there and stopping and directing traffic, that's incredible. They have a lot of trust and faith that someone doesn't run them over, because I've seen cars like smash each other in some of these crazy streets of Manhattan. But a traffic cop puts himself out there, and when he puts his hand up, people listen. Why do people listen? What? Because he has authority. And who gives him the authority? Who gives the traffic cop authority? The city. There is a greater power behind the traffic cop, and because of that, he's able to stand in the middle and direct traffic. And we understand that this man carries authority. And so because we understand that and we see the authority that he carries and holds, we listen. as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have authority. You have a power to go and make disciples. He has called us to speak into people's lives. He commands us to be bringers of this gospel. We are to go to eat with people, to heal the sick, and to tell them that the kingdom of God is near now. There's a harvest right now. And God is working in people's lives right now, all throughout this city, all throughout this county. There are people sitting next door to you, somewhere that you have access to, that is ready. And that God has been doing something in their lives that you need to go into their lives, into their homes. Eat with them. Demonstrate the power and the authority that Jesus Christ has given you as a follower of Him. Pray for the sick and believe that it's going to happen. Heal the sick. There's a church that was doing this in California, and they believed that God was calling them to implement this model into the way they do church, how they talk about what church looks like for them. And so they said, we're going to start praying for people to be healed. And says, you know what? We started praying, and guess what? Nobody got healed. And we started recording every person that we prayed for. He said, 5 people we prayed for, nothing. 50, nothing. 100 people, and they would write down everything. He says, nothing. But we kept pushing forward. And we said, this is the calling that God tells us to do this in the passage of Luke. And so we're going to keep praying for healing, supernatural healing in people's lives. 1,000 recorded prayers for healing, and nothing happened. And then he said, 1,001? We saw someone supernaturally healed. And it's exploded. And it says, God pushed us. He worked on us. He had to trust us. If he's going to call us and use us, he has to trust us. And so they worked. And they were obedient. And they saw great things. They were a small church plant. And I sat there and I listened and I said, that's like us. They said, we only had like 36 parking spots. And God spoke to us to have this greater vision of who you are. To see yourself not as you are, but as who you can become. As who God can call you to be. He says, out of our little church plant, we've seen 12 other churches come out from us. They've planted 12 other churches. They have grown and multiplied, grown and multiplied. And he was so excited. He says, and it's not us. And one of the churches we planted, they were worshiping last weekend with 6,000 people in their service. And blessings on them in the ministry that they're doing. But you understand, we had a calling to multiply. An apple is 4 seeds. But the apple isn't just for me to enjoy it. It has to do with these seeds. And these seeds create one apple tree. And one apple tree can harvest over 150 apples. I have 4 seeds. It's over 600 apples. That all comes out of this one little apple. That's multiplication. That's multiplication. Our purpose here and what we will be doing is that for those who have a heart, that we are going to be training up people and sending them out in twos into our community and seeing this place, this region, brought with the gospel of Jesus Christ in a new way, in a way that says, listen, we want to be this authentic, missional, holistic community of people who love Jesus, love people, and want to make disciples. And that's what we are doing. That's what we're doing here. And we just want to be as real as we can. And we're going to go out. And you are going to go out. We're going to send you out in twos. For those who have a passion and a heart for this, that you feel the Holy Spirit is like talking to you, and you know it inside of you. And that God is going to be doing this, and he's going to build up this church, because it is not my responsibility as a pastor here to create some church. No. Who builds up the church? God. Because he told Peter, on this rock, I will build this church. It wasn't Peter's responsibility to build the church. It was God's responsibility. And I'm going to put my faith and trust into him, because he is way bigger than me. He is more capable than me. But I know and I believe that he has a calling and a purpose here. That those people who have been meeting here, that for us, that we have a purpose here to be seeds and to go and plant. And it's going to be a mystery, just like it says in Mark about the parable of the sowing of seeds, that there is a mystery about, we don't know how the seed grows, but we have a responsibility to plant seed, and we have a responsibility to harvest. It's a new vision here. I want us to imagine and to picture us multiplying churches, us growing missional communities, organic communities out into this world. Let's see 3, 4, 5, 7, 12. I don't care. Let's see what God can do here to grow up people and to send them out. I want to multiply. But we need disciples to do that. So this whole year, Sunday mornings, everything that we go for our Sunday morning services is all about discipleship. It's all about every single sermon that you will hear for the next year, for 44 weeks left, it will be on discipleship. We will have a separate time for training. For those who have a passion and a heart to do this, to go out into the communities, I'm going to be pulling some of you guys aside and say, hey, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to need people to be intercessors. I need people to stand up and to say, hey, listen, I'm willing to pray, to be an intercessor for my community, and that I'm committing to fasting and praying for this town, for this area, that I'm seeing this as a mission that I am on, that we are on, and that we are all doing this together. And this isn't just talk. So I want you to hear this, that the stuff that I'm saying means in the next few weeks, this coming week, I'm going to be going out. I'm putting you on the spot. I already pulled Jonathan aside. I says, dude, we're going to go out and we're going to go to places and talk to people. And we're just going to try to get into conversations and go find those people of peace, because that's our responsibility. Yesterday, God told me, and I don't say this to brag, I say this just to let you know, that God was really pushing on me that I needed to fast over this, because this is something that if I'm expecting people here to fast and to pray, that I need to be doing it. If I'm expecting people to go out and to go and share the gospel and to be bold and say, listen, you got to get out of your comfort zone. That if there's a harvest outside, you can't hang out in the barn. Then you and I need to be going out. And so I'm going to put myself out there, and I'm going to do this. And I want you guys to follow and to go, because we believe that Jesus is that real, and he's given us all that commitment, and that calling here. So would you pray? If you feel like you are to be a part of the intercessors, I want you to be praying. Praying for your church, praying for the city, praying for the town. Pull out a map. Start praying over the area. Go out for a prayer jog. Do prayer walks. Intercede. If you're feeling the Holy Spirit leading you to go out and to talk to people, people with circles of influence that you have, going out into places that you hang out, places that you know that need Jesus, to the dark places, places where you live or invest, places you work, I want to work with you and disciple you to go and do that. But if you're sitting here today, and you're like, this sounds amazing, but I don't, you know, Eddie, I don't even know if I'm there yet. I'm still wrestling with whether or not I'm a follower of Jesus. What I want us to do is this. We're going to have a time of worship. I want Hal to come up, and we're going to sing our last song. And I want everybody to stand up for a moment. you to close your eyes. And I want to ask you these questions. If you have never, if you've been sitting here and you've been worshiping with us and you've never, ever asked Jesus into your heart, that you are not a disciple, that you are not a follower of him, but you desire, you're hungry, and there's something inside of you that's saying, you know what? I know God loves me. I've never made that commitment. I've never asked him into my life, and I want that peace. Jesus, I need that peace over me. I want you to pray and invite Christ into your heart. To accept that Jesus died for your sins and that he loves you. He loves you. He died so that you can live. To cleanse you. To give you new life. That you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. I want you to pray that out to him. To accept him into your life. And if that's you, and you want Jesus, I want everybody's eyes closed, you can raise your hands, and then I want to pray for you right now. But I won't put you on the spot. And if you are sitting here that you feel that the Holy Spirit is pushing you, that you need to be someone who goes, who is one of the disciples, who goes out into their spheres of influence and reaches people, that eats with people, that prays for people, and that tells them about the kingdom of heaven. And if that's somebody that the Holy Spirit has been pushing on you, I want you to raise your hands. Okay. I'm going to pray for you. And if you're willing to commit to be an intercessor for this city and to claim this city and to claim this region, Erie County, forget just the city, Erie County. If you are someone who has a heart and a passion, you feel the Holy Spirit is pushing that upon you, I want you to raise your hand. We all have a call and a purpose. And so right now I pray, Father, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit to do the purposes that you have commanded, the gifts that you have given us, God, the calling and the direction that you have placed in front of us, I pray that we would be men and women who say, Jesus, I want to do what you have me to do. I want to follow you. I want to be a person who prays and intercedes for the lost and for the sick and for those who are in the towns around me. I want to be a person who goes out into the cities, into the places that nobody else is willing to go to. I want to be someone who's willing to bring gospel, to bring light into the world of darkness. I want to be someone who brings the gospel message of Jesus into others in ways that people could understand. I want to be that person who goes. And so I pray that you would empower them and you fill them with your boldness. And Lord, that as a church that we would be a place that multiplies, that raises and makes disciples who makes disciples. That we would not be a place that just sustains us and stays here huddled in, but we'd be a place that's always going, that's following you, Lord. And that we would implement these things and say, Jesus, we're just going to follow you and we're going to do what you tell us to do. We're not going to listen to just some fad, but we want to pursue you. God, we want to make people who follow you, who listen to the teachings that you've called us, especially in a time like this, when it seems like the world is going, God, things are crumbling all around us. But we are seriously pursuing you and saying, Jesus, we love you. And we want others to love you and fall in love with you and have this amazing, deep, personal relationship with you. God, I pray that you would use us. God, we are willing, we are able, and we're going to be going. Jesus, thank you. I thank you. And I pray that we would connect with people of peace throughout this city, throughout this county. We go in and we start gathering in that harvest. And we claim that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.
I had a other song to play, but I'd like